Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of July 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll take a closer look at the rainfall across a large portion of the Corn Belt, in particular across east-central Illinois. That with meteorologist and agricultural economist Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. At the bottom of the half hour. Stay with us all the way through that. I've already recorded. It's really a great conversation. And we'll also take a look at the cash grain market and basis levels and what's been happening there with Matt Bennett of Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois, as we make our way through the end of this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. At the CME Group, corn futures were up a half in the nearby September at $4.30, December at $4.41, three quarters higher, and March at $4.51, up a half. The May contract up three quarters, $4.56 and a quarter, a settlement price there. July corn at $4.59 and three quarters for 2016, up a penny and a quarter in December of 2016, two and a half lower today. At $4.34 and a quarter. Soy complex bean futures, August contract down six, $10.19. September at $10.10 and a quarter, 6 cents lower. November beans and nickel lower at $10.11. January $10.17 and a quarter down five. And the March futures at $10.14, three and a half lower. July at $10.05 and three quarters down 3 cents. Bean meal futures up $1.40 at $3.60, $3.60. And the bean oil at $31.46, down 19 cents at the end of the day. Soft red winter wheat in the September, four and a half lower at $5.62 and a quarter. The hard red contract for the September at five and three quarters lower, finished at $5.53 and a quarter cents a bushel. Live cattle futures in the August down 70 at $146.32 and a half cents. October down 92 and a half at $149.30. August feeders were down a dollar and a nickel at $2.14.27 and a half. September $1.37 and a half lower. And the lean hogs up 55 cents in the August at $75.85. October down 77 and a half at $64.20 for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day, August contracted $50.96 a barrel, down 45 cents. Ethanol futures a half of a cent lower at $1.57 and a half. And the RBOB price or wholesale of gasoline at 3 6/10 of a cent higher. It traded at $1.89 and a half on its last tick. Heating oil, diesel fuel. That's just about a tenth of a cent lower at $1.66 and 7 cents, and natural gas for the day at $2.85 and 6 cents, 6 2/10 of a cent lower. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 18,022, up 30 points. The dollar up 0.531 at 97.81, and the gold futures at $1,144 even, down $3.40. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. That mostly cloudy skies and 83 degrees tonight, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cloudy, a low of 72, southwest winds at 9 to 11, and tomorrow a 20% chance of rainfall, partly sunny, a high of 89 degrees. The heat index going to 102, let me repeat that, partly sunny. Apparently going to be pretty humid because we're going to a 102-degree heat index on an 89-degree temperature. Friday, partly cloudy in the evening with a 74-degree low. Saturday, partly sunny and a high of 91. Southwest winds at 5 to 9 then. And then on Sunday, a 30% chance of rainfall, partly sunny at 89 degrees. Monday, again, another shower or thunderstorm, partly sunny otherwise, and 83. Mostly sunny on Tuesday and 83, and Wednesday mostly sunny and 84. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast. A really good conversation coming up with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. First, a correction. I'm a journalist first, and I always, always try to double-check facts and figures. In fact, when I reported to you this morning the amount of rainfall in a portion of East Central Illinois, it was deadly wrong, off by three times as much as normal. However, I did check that fact with three different people, and I thought maybe it was a local fact. I suggested to them that this couldn't possibly be right, or that maybe it was from the beginning of the year. They assured me that was not the case. Never mind that. I got it wrong. I apologize. I only have my ability to cover these things as credibility, and I hope you will forgive me. Now, Dan Zwicker is on the phone line with us to take up these areas and some of the technical things. When we talked this morning, Dan, you talked about some of the technicals turning, and you really wanted to discuss those. Can you tell me where we stand today and what you see in the marketplace?
Well, they haven't turned yet. They are closing in on a window that they could begin to kick up next week. But the market would have to hold together and kind of continue to kind of move higher into early next week for all those technicals to line up for a good buy. And I don't know for sure, you know, whether or not that will happen or not. But just on plain chart, raw chart data, you can kind of see that the bean market has had a struggle basically over the last 2-3 weeks, you know, kind of November beans here trying to go above this 10.40 area. That's kind of been a real resistance point. We were able to punch above it by a few cents there earlier this week, and then we've come back. So when you take a first glance look at bean charts, you can see a developing double top type formation maybe begin to take hold. It's not solidified yet, but it definitely would show up on the charts. And where we're having trouble, I think, going higher is you can see that on this morning's export sales were, for new crop months anyway, are very disappointing on all corn and soybeans. And we're seeing, you know, we begin to hear more and more rumors about people bringing in South American meal inventories into the United States. And that was, again, a rumor here today. And that's what took beans off their highs and sent them here to a lower close. And then, of course, then that spilled over into corn and took corn down here to basically an unchanged close. So, supply concerns, weather concerns, yield concerns still remain front and center, but we continue to hear rumors in the trade that South American inventories of corn and or soybeans and or wheat are going to make their way into the United States, and that seems to be spooking anyway a lot of the longs, so that's kind of what's happening. I think longer term, you know, what it could be is just a consolidation phase here until we get further down the road and know, maybe get our arms around the actual supply that we have out here in the United States. But the initial blush on the charts, especially today on corn, after it's being higher, then come back to kind of close unchanged, that is looking a little toppy too on the corn chart. So, I have to say today we kind of ended up more so on the negative side on chart actions, chart pattern than probably what things looked like earlier here this morning.
So today was really not a good day in the charts, I take it, then?
No. It's just we're struggling. You have to continue to make new highs and maintain them in an uptrend, or otherwise you begin to falter, and that's kind of what we're starting to see here. And as a group, there's kind of a group thought out there. Everybody's wanting to follow the 1993 chart pattern. And in 1993, the markets kind of peaked out, I think, on the July crop report. And then they began to drift lower as we went all the way into September. And then when the combines began to roll, we found out that the yields were way less than what USDA was estimating them at. And then that's when the market took off and kept rallying all the way into the January final, and that kind of put the top in old crop months on the 93 crop year. So since this is a wet year in the eastern Corn Belt, everybody's got the 1993 chart pulled out and kind of following it, and I think that makes them spooky to continue to buy this market. The funds did come in yesterday and bought it, and that's what kind of brought it off the lows. But when the rumors came out today that there may be some imports coming in, then we sold it all. So I think I mentioned this last week. You know, when you get to this time frame from mid-July down the road, the odds of making higher highs for the year begin to get slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. And the only way you're going to make those higher highs, if indeed this crop comes in much shorter than what the trade is thinking is going to be. And this is the tug of war that we have with the Western Corn Belt being in much better shape than the Eastern Corn Belt, and everybody's trying to come to a decision of what the actual national average yield is, and then what kind of ending stocks we may or may not have. And I think probably this is what the market's telling us, is that we just don't know at this point enough about the size of this year's crop. You know, we were up earlier on warm and dry weather, and that'll be something to kind of be watching, I think, in the southern part of the Corn Belt. I think the weather maps are still starting to indicate warmer, much above normal temperatures and below normal type precipitation. We'll have to see if that take hold. And then all of a sudden we're talking about, you know, crop stress in the southwest and the southern Corn Belt pulling down yield. So that'll be something to kind of watch. But for right now, I think the rain, the excessive rain rally is probably complete, and now it's just kind of struggling here with talk about imports coming in.
More time is needed, I suspect. The next space that we'll be looking at will be the USDA crop production reports, August the 12th.
That's going to be it. And again, I want to remind everybody that I am coming to Alamy on Wednesday of next week for a lunch meeting at Holiday. And then I'll be at the Mount Vernon, Indiana offices. We got a new office in Mount Vernon, Indiana for a pair of seminars, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So I'd encourage everybody to come, and I'll be looking at different price patterns over the past other crop years where we had weather problems, and how this one may or may not play out over the next couple, 3 months.
Well, thank you so much for reminding us of those. And if folks are in the area, they can drop by and see you. Thanks so much. You have a good weekend, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Here are some of the stories in today's agricultural news. Farmers on Capitol Hill rally in support of the RFS. More than 300 corn farmers and ethanol industry leaders joined members of Congress on Capitol Hill yesterday at a rally calling attention to the renewable fuel standard. They were protesting U.S. EPA's proposed cuts to the corn ethanol portion of the RFS. Those cuts add up to some 3.75 billion gallons through 2016, or about 1.5 billion bushels in potential lost corn demand, says the chairman of the National Corn Growers Association, Dan Carmi, Illinois farmer, Martin Barbary.
It could mean lower prices, you know, lower profitability, even drive us back down below the cost of production, which we've barely just squeaked above now as the markets have risen a little bit. But overall, the real impact is what it does to the value of the RFS itself. It diminishes the value of it. It takes some of the teeth out of the RFS.
Barbary says the message to U.S. EPA is simple and unequivocal. Don't mess with the RFS. Rally attendees in D.C. also heard from suburban Chicago Representative Tammy Duckworth. She's an Iraq War veteran, double amputee, and believes in the mission of the RFS as laid out by Congress to provide the United States greater energy independence.
80% of all convoy operations were conducted to carry oil. 50% of combat casualties in Iraq were during convoy operations. Ethanol is important for this nation, not just for the clean air, not just for the environment, but for the safety and security of our nation.
After the rally, corn growers spent the day lobbying members of Congress against the EPA rule and legislation to roll back the RFS. Let's stay with corn. Still no European corn borer. A recent survey taken throughout the state of Illinois by U of I Extension shows that the European corn borer population is still almost non-existent. Mike Gray, U of I Extension entomologist, says remarkably, no European corn borer moths were covered at any of the 140 locations, that's five fields in each of 28 different counties, in spite of making a total of 14,000 sweeps. Of the 14,000 whorl stage plants examined, only 68 had shot holing or even any evidence of first-generation injury from the European corn borer. Gray says the extensive use of highly effective BT hybrids and the area-wide suppression brought about by these transgenic hybrids is the primary explanation for these very low densities. He adds that to date there is no evidence of field-level resistance development by European corn borers to BT hybrids. This is a remarkable success story, he says, nearly 20 years after the commercial release of BT hybrids aimed at the insect. And finally today, the FFA convention is headed back to Indy. The National FFA Organization says its annual convention is heading back to Indianapolis starting next year. The National Convention and Expo will be held in Indianapolis from 2016 to 2024. The National Convention and Expo will utilize downtown venues, including Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Lucas Oil Stadium, the Indiana Convention Center, the Indiana State Fairgrounds, and eight event hotels. The National FFA Convention was already planned for Indianapolis between 2016 and 2018. The National FFA headquarters, of course, are in Indianapolis. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find all of our agricultural programming online at WILLAG.org. If you're a Twitter user, follow me. My handle is at Commodity Week. And if you do that and scroll back through my tweets, you'll find that last night I made a run from Rankin, Illinois, up to near Watseka. It's only about 30 miles, but stopped every 5 miles and took a picture of the first field on the right. If you'd like a good look at what conditions are like on the ground in one of the hardest hit wet areas, please visit my Twitter account at Commodity Week. Speaking of that rainfall, it's been falling not only there but throughout the Corn Belt, and it's built a whole lot of uncertainty around the size of this year's crop as it was predicted this month by USDA. Ag economist Daryl Good thinks the amount of this uncertainty is, well, more than usually the case.
Uncertainty surrounding these projections, however, is likely greater than is normally the case for this time of year.
USDA released new projections for the 2015-16 corn marketing year, July 10th. The next update is due the 12th of August. The new crop corn marketing year ending stocks now stand at 172 million bushels, smaller, and the average farm price is expected to be 25 cents higher than projected a month earlier. Those are actually the numbers in question. Both are related to the size of this year's crop, and the Illinois agricultural economist has some thoughts on the unknowns as it relates to risk and price.
In years with substantial production uncertainty, like this year, prices tend to be above the subsequent marketing year average during the growing season. That offers producers the opportunity to forward price a portion of the crop. That pattern seems to be unfolding this year. New crop corn prices are currently above both the spring price for crop revenue insurance and above the upper end of the range of the USDA's marketing year average price. Still, prices could trade in a relatively wide range over the next 10 weeks. Pricing decisions remain very difficult for producers, particularly for those with substantial production uncertainty.
The risk for corn, says Daryl Good, can be mitigated with a combination of incremental sales at higher prices and options strategies that provide a floor above the crop revenue price of $4.15 for December futures. It's a Thursday afternoon. This is the closing market report. Time to check the cash grain markets out and see what's been happening on the farm with Matt Bennett. He's of Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. Thanks, Matt, for being with us. I do appreciate your time today. I know you're busy. Tell me about conditions on the ground on the farms there in your part of the world.
You know, I think for the most part, we have a good crop. This is what I've been telling most people. I wouldn't say it's great. It's not what we had last year. There'll be some fields that I think maybe approach some of those yield levels where a guy has a lot of tile or enough roll on good ground. But bottom line, it's good on corn, I think, in a lot of places. But you don't have to drive very far and you see a lot of train wrecks. So right in here close to my home, we've been very fortunate not to get significant rainfall. One of my farms, the southwesternmost portion that I farm, I've had way too much rain, and I would imagine that corn would be lucky to go 120. So a little bit of a mixed bag. Beans are coming around with this heat, though, and they're looking a lot better, looking better every day.
Very quickly, compared to APH, how good, much better, were your average yields last year than the APH? And then for expectations, how much less than APH this year, if that?
I'd say we averaged 50 to 60 bushel above APH last year. This year I'm hoping to outdo our APH, but on some of our farms I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. So that gives me a kind of context of where we're setting. You think that's more of the average across how big of an area, or is Illinois, Indiana, Ohio hurt a lot more than that?
Well, I've been all through Illinois and Indiana in a lot of different places. Yes, there's good corn here and there. There's some areas where there's excellent corn, but there's been some real damage done in some major producing areas. And so I think Indiana's state yield is under Illinois', and I'm going to tag Illinois' maybe in the 160 area if we're lucky. So, you know, I think Indiana maybe 135, 140. It looks pretty rough everywhere I've been.
Have you been into Iowa?
I have not been into Iowa yet, but I will be in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, so you're going out on the crop tour. When does that start?
I will be leaving out on the 16th.
Of July? Well, I mean of August?
Yeah, yes. Of August. That's correct.
Okay, excellent. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. Thanks so much for taking the time with us. Any final word? We've got maybe 20 seconds.
Oh, I'm looking forward to doing Commodity Week. We can go into much more depth there.
Oh, there you go. Hey, I forgot about that. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Yep. Talk to you in about 25 minutes, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll post Commodity Week with our panelists, including Matt Bennett and Pete Manhart and Scott Harms, by about 5:30 this evening.
It's National Corn Fritters Day. A fritter is any kind of food coated in batter and deep-fried. The origins of the corn fritter are murky at best. The Boston Cooking School Cookbook of 1918 had a recipe for corn fritters. On this day in agricultural history, in 1704, John Kay was born. An English machinist and engineer, he invented the flying shuttle power loom, which was an important step toward automatic weaving. But at first, his invention was not appreciated by weavers who thought it would steal their jobs. Ultimately, he was forced to flee from England to France. In 1907, Orville Redenbacher was born. An American agronomist, Redenbacher founded the gourmet popcorn business. In the 1940s, he and a friend, Charles Bowman, experimented with corn hybrids from Purdue University, the forerunner, decades later, of gourmet popcorn. By the way, Redenbacher once appeared on To Tell the Truth, where he stumped the panel. And in 2004, the city manager of Key West, Florida, fired its official chicken catcher. Armando Pera was hired to catch and relocate more than. But Key West city fathers did not feel he would meet his contract quota to relocate 1,000 chickens by September. And so Pera was given the axe. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 16th day of July. Mike Tenora is here from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. We're trying to get a really good handle on how much of the growing area in the Midwest has had too much rain over. And I don't know, you pick a period and give me some numbers. I know you've been looking at some of the stats. It's really important, especially as we start to dry out, because we're just trying to figure out what the crop condition might be like right now.
Well, that's a great question. And one of the things you need to think about when you look at this is, what is the right period to look at? Do we want to look at the last 1 week or 2 weeks? Or do we want to look at a longer range, like 30 days or 60 days into the past? It's a tough question, and there's no right or wrong answer. But we would just estimate that the best period to look at right now would be the most recent 30-day period. And part of the reason for that is just the crop observations that we've seen. If we look at areas that received at least twice its normal rainfall over the last 30 days, and that means that they've received at least 60 days of rainfall over the last 30 days, that appears to be where most of the problems are centered. That includes 24% of U.S. corn production and 29% of U.S. soybean production, based on some internal statistics that we run here. So that's a pretty sizable proportion of U.S. corn and soybeans that are clearly too wet. And of those percentages, 5% of U.S. corn production and 6% of U.S. soybean production received at least 90 days worth of rainfall. And there's no question that those percentages definitely have a problem. So then it comes down to the interpretation of what this all means to the U.S. corn yield and the U.S. soybean yield. And that topic always gets even trickier than just assessing the numbers.
All right. Do you have any thoughts on that topic, or shall we move forward to what conditions will look like going over the next week to 2 weeks?
Going forward, we can see that we're still going to see areas of rain. So that's generally a positive for people who are not too wet, but a negative for those who are wet. So again, a mixed bag there. You don't really need rain in all of these areas, but it looks more than likely like we will see rain in a large area. Part of the reason for that is because it will turn notably warmer with time. It gets warmer on and off here over the next week, and then it looks like it might turn downright hot in about 7 to 8 days from now, and that could last for 3 to 4 days before going back to a warm pattern, but not a cool pattern. What if that pattern were to last? What would that mean for corn and soybeans? Would it be good if we were to turn warm and have all of these things, areas start to dry out? Or would it follow a more typical pattern, which is where warm weather is not ideal? These are difficult questions to answer, and we are dealing with an uncertain setup. So we think it's very important to watch the weather over the next 1 to 2 weeks. We do have some confidence that it will turn a lot warmer with heat at times over the next 2 weeks. After that, it becomes uncertain. And that's really what will probably determine this year's corn and soybean crop.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again next week.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great afternoon.
You too. That is Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason.